You know, when you encounter the fragility of life, it makes you ask those big questions, doesn't it? You know, what's life all about? Am I living the sort of life God wants me to live? And Andy, you've raised a very interesting question. How can we have the sort of faith that Moses had? How can we have that? Do you long for a life of power, a life that has impact beyond just the immediate around you? Do you long to be used by God? Do you long to actually affect eternity by how you live your life? Not just go through the day-to-day of living life, but actually see something happen, something remarkable. Thank you, Margaret. That is wonderful. Water is very good, isn't it? Well, if you turn in your Bibles to Acts, we're going to look at what is the key to having this sort of life. What is the key to having the sort of faith Moses had? Acts 1, verse 8, on page 1092 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." That's the verse we're going to concentrate on tonight, but I'm going to carry on reading. "After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. 'Men of Galilee,' they said, 'why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven.'" I too long to live a life that has eternal consequences. But sometimes the reality is I just feel weak, I make mistakes, I feel tired, and I think, God, you're calling us to live this life of power. And yet my experience sometimes is, it's hard. Anyone else find it hard sometimes? Find it hard? Let me tell you about another person who finds it hard. Have we got a picture of him? Sometimes? Popeye. Finds it hard sometimes. He's got an enemy. What's his enemy's name? Bluto. And he's always trying to save Olive. Okay. And it's always going wrong, isn't it? He's trying to save Olive. Bluto's run off with her. And he's not got the strength to do it. But Popeye's got a secret, hasn't he? What's Popeye's secret? Spinach. When Popeye takes his spinach, when he eats his spinach, how's it go? Anyone know the song? Well, we won't get there. when he eats his spinach, suddenly he has power within him that's not of his own. And actually available to Christians, what we see in Acts is people experiencing power that is not of their own, and it's not because they eat spinach. It's verse 8. "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Power. That the word power comes from the Greek word dunamis, where we get our word dynamite. Dynamite. Explosive power. You know, when there's an explosion, especially if you see an explosion in water, you see the shock waves going out, don't you? Sort of ripples, they spread. You know, you get an explosion in one place, but the effects of it are so widespread. And here in Acts 1 verse 8, you've basically got a verse that sums up the whole of Acts. Okay, so you've got this power that comes upon the disciples to be witnesses in Jerusalem, which is dealt with in chapters 1 to 7. You've got it then spreading out into Judea and Samaria in chapters 8 to 9, and then all the way to the ends of the earth from chapters 10 to 28. If that just gives you a little handle on what the book looks like, okay? That's where we're going. We're going to be seeing how this gospel expands just in an extraordinary way, and is still expanding even today as we're looking at this morning. But the disciples are told to wait, aren't they? They're told to wait for this power. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will receive power. And then you get this account of the ascension. And as I was saying this morning, it's no accident that verse 9 follows verse 8. It's no accident, because crucial to this outpouring of the Spirit of God is Jesus's ascension. Let me just try and explain why in just two points. The first is that here at the ascension, Christ confirms his authority. I'm not going to talk about this very much, because we're talking about this a lot this morning. But basically, the ascension declares that Jesus is divine. This is Jesus entering the Godhead. You know, this has amazing implications for us. And basically, this Jesus, it says in the Bible, is in control of all things. In fact, not only is he in control of all things, but everything depends on Jesus for its existence. We see that in Colossians. Okay, everything depends on him. Everything consists and by him has their being, it says in Colossians 1. Okay, what's the implication of that? Every one of us here tonight is dependent absolutely upon Jesus for our existence. Every person in this world, have you ever thought about this, depends absolutely on Jesus for their existence. To say Jesus doesn't matter is to say, well, I might as well not breathe. I might as well just not breathe. You can't live without Jesus. And Jesus reigns absolutely. And that's what we were looking at this morning. And maybe this evening, you just need to hear that. Jesus is reigning. You know, sometimes we pray, God, please would you be sovereign in this situation? Do you know, that's a bit of a silly prayer. Do you know why? He is sovereign. He is sovereign. Do you know what? Our prayers need to be more like, God, let me see how you're at work. Lord, help my faith build, that I can believe that you're working even in this difficult situation that I'm facing at the moment. Jesus rules all things and confirms his authority at the ascension as the disciples watch him ascend and then sit down at the right hand of the Father. One theologian says this about the ascension: it means nothing less than Jesus sharing in the glory of the Godhead and exercising the rule of God in heaven and earth. Wow. Jesus is powerful. Jesus is powerful. But Jesus isn't just in heaven sort of orchestrating everything. Amazingly, he actually shares this rule, shares this authority with his followers. And that's what I want us to just focus on for the next few minutes. Jesus shares his authority. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. I'd encourage you, if you feel like you don't understand the work of the Holy Spirit, if you don't understand who he is, I'd encourage you to read John's Gospel, and particularly I'd encourage you to read chapters sort of 14 through to 16. But I just want to draw your attention to John 16, verse 7. Jesus says this while he's with them. He says this: but I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Do you think how amazing it would have been to have Jesus with you? Wouldn't that be, if you could have a day with Jesus, would that be good? Be up for that? Imagine Jesus walking with you and just seeing him doing all this stuff as the disciples did. And then Jesus says to you, if you spent a day with him, he says, I'm going away. You'd be like, no. And it's for your good. How? How is that for the disciples' good? Have you ever thought about that? Well, it's because he's going to send the counselor, literally one who is like him. And the Holy Spirit is amazing. Absolutely amazing. Because, you know, Jesus actually was confined by space and time, wasn't he? He was, there were people gathering around him and then, you know, chipping through ruse to try and get to him. But the Holy Spirit universalizes the presence of Jesus. Universalizes his presence. So that no matter where you are, you can experience Jesus. Experience the Spirit of God in your life. He universalizes his presence. Secondly, the Holy Spirit internalizes the presence of Jesus. That song we were singing just really hit me again. God of heaven living in me. Do you know, if you're a Christian here tonight, you have the God of heaven living in you. Is that amazing? That is remarkable, isn't it? God of heaven living in me. That same powerful God who did all of those, all that creative work, those pictures we were looking at earlier, living in you as a Christian. It's your good that I'm going away. Jesus ascends into heaven and then releases his Spirit. But his Spirit isn't like some kind of strange force. And actually, we get into all sorts of trouble sometimes when we try to understand the Holy Spirit without divine revelation, firstly. We need divine revelation. It's like trying to explain something inexplicable otherwise. You know, as Christians, we believe in a triune God, a God who is three but one. But one of the problems we've got in our culture at the moment is when we talk about persons, we've become so separate when we talk about individual persons that it actually becomes quite difficult for us to understand that something could be three in one. Because the person has become such a unique thing. But as Christians, we believe that both Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are God. And so whichever person of the Trinity you're looking at, you're looking at God. Whichever person of the Trinity you're looking at, you're looking at God. And the only way we can know him is if he reveals himself to us. We're never going to fully understand him. But he's done that. He has revealed himself in the person of his Son, Jesus, and in his word. And so it's really important that we look in the Bible and say, well, what does the Bible say about the Holy Spirit? I would just say something really important. He is not the power, he is the empowerer. Okay? He's not the power, he's the empowerer. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. He's the empowerer. He is God coming to live within you. You know, if we had time, we could look through the Old Testament and see how God, by his Spirit, comes on individuals. He comes on Moses and Aaron and Joseph and Samson. He gives gifts of skill to Bezalel. He gives gifts and comes upon the prophets. He comes upon John the Baptist. Particular people to work out his purposes in the world. And then you come to Acts. And there's this promise in the Old Testament of this Spirit that will be poured out on all people. But it's for a purpose. It's for a purpose. Acts 1. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. There is amazing power available to us. But it's for a purpose. What's the purpose? What's the purpose? Well, it's twofold. Firstly, I want to say that actually the purpose is to believe. If you carry on reading in John 16, it says this: when he comes, verse 8, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father when you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. Verse 15, all that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit take what is mine and make it known to you. The primary role of the Spirit is to enable us to understand God, to enable us to understand that we're sinners in need of a Savior. Enable us to believe. Do you know, sometimes, I think I'm chatting to mostly Christians here tonight. Do you know, sometimes preachers will preach and they'll basically give the impression that the Christian life is one that is just every day with Jesus is better than the next. You ever got that impression from some people? You think, oh God, I'm so far from that. So I was very encouraged to read John Piper. I am much aware that every day with Jesus is not sweeter than the day before, he writes. Some days with Jesus, our disposition is sour. Some days with Jesus, we're so sad we feel our heart will break open. Some days with Jesus, we're so depressed and discouraged that between the garage and the house, we just want to sit down on the grass and cry. Every day with Jesus is not sweeter than the day before. We know it from experience, and we know it, most importantly, from Scripture. For David says in Psalm 19, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. If every day with Jesus was sweeter than the day before, if life were a steady ascent with no dips in our affection for God, we wouldn't need to be revived. We need power to believe, don't we? We need power. In another place, David extols the Lord with similar words. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. This means David must have had bad days. There were days when his soul needed to be restored. It's the same phrase used in Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. Normal Christian life is a repeated process of restoration and renewal. Our joy is not static. It fluctuates with real life. It is vulnerable to Satan's attack. Do you know what? We need help. Just to keep going as Christians. Do you know, if you try and do the Christian life on your own without supernatural help, you will fail. Because Christianity is not about a set of rules that you live up to. Christianity is about a relationship with the God of heaven who comes and lives within us. And for some reason, I don't really know why it is, it's like God fills us up sometimes and we kind of leak. We're leaky Christians, aren't we? And we need power to believe. But there's also an amazing purpose that you see very clearly in this verse. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. There is amazing power available to us as believers. But it is power for a purpose, not just to keep believing, but that we would take this message of Jesus forward and obey Christ's command to go into all the world, telling them the good news of Jesus. Do you know, as we go through Acts, we're going to see that time and time again, miracles accompany the preaching of the gospel. Why? Why did the disciples see such extraordinary things? It's because they're living a life that is in line with the purposes of God. I wonder sometimes whether we lack power in our lives, whether we lack Holy Spirit power, because our lives actually don't need the power of God. Don't need the power of God to come through. It's like, God, I'm going to talk to my friend now, and I'm in the middle of this conversation, I just need your help. I need you to bring a word. If you're never in those sort of conversations, if you're never putting yourself in a place where you need God's power to fulfill his commission, maybe that's why we don't experience his power. Power, we need power to believe, but we need power to act. Do you know, sometimes we can just try and do stuff in our own strength. And Jesus was so, so clear with the disciples that they weren't to go ahead without first receiving power. I wonder if you read Jeff Lucas. I've read Jeff Lucas. He's great, very funny writer. He writes this: I'm one of those people who don't like to stop off at the petrol station to refuel. I tend to set a completely unnecessary stopwatch at the beginning of a journey and then drive as fast as is legal in order to beat my own world records. Filling up is a second sapping distraction, and thus I peer fearfully at the petrol gauge for much of the trip, terrified as the needle falls slowly to the E. You can guess that with this slightly manic disposition, I find it difficult to pull over to services. There's another question. He's been talking about the question of what we're to do with our life. There's another question that we should confront ourselves with, and that is, where does my power come from? My problem is that having got the slightest hint of God's purposes for me, I then head off and then desperately try to fulfill them in my own strength instead of genuinely seeking to walk in the energy and enabling of God. I become proficient and then independent. Sadly, often when levels of expertise go up, correspondingly, our levels of dependency go down. That's why good and great churches get into danger. After a while, they become so good at what they do that they don't need God and wouldn't miss him, at least for a while, if he vacated their area. Do you know, this is what Jesus wants his disciples to avoid. They've got their starting orders. Go! Go! But they've got to receive power first. You know, if we try and live the Christian life, if we try and succeed with the gospel task that Jesus has given us, without his spirit at work within us, then we will fail. We will fail. Christ, the ascension confirms his authority, but we also see that Christ at his ascension shares his authority with us. Amazing power available to his people. Do you know, we could talk lots about the Holy Spirit. We could talk lots about who he is, what he's done, what he will do. We could talk about how he is a person. We can look at all those references that I've got here about how he displays emotion and knowledge and how he can be blasphemed, how he's named in the Godhead. We could talk about all these things. But if all we ever do is just talk about God, then we kind of miss the point, don't we? What we need is to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. And you know what? The Holy Spirit has come. The Holy Spirit has come. We don't need to wait anymore. The Holy Spirit came. Acts 2, we're going to look at it in a few weeks' time. And Peter says there, the promise is for you. For you. And for all who are far off. For all whom the Lord our God will call. So I just want to say tonight, there is amazing power available to us. Power, but it's for a purpose. For the purpose of reaching this world for Christ. But you need to ask for it. You need to ask for it. In Ephesians 5:16, Paul says, be filled with the Spirit. Don't get drunk with wine. But be filled with the Spirit. And the sense of that word is an ongoing filling with the Spirit of God. We're leaky Christians. We need to be filled. Maybe tonight you need to be filled again with the Holy Spirit. Know the reality of God of heaven living within you. I think it'd be great for us to pray and ask God by his Spirit, come and meet us. That we wouldn't just talk about him, that we would encounter him. Just going to ask Katie to just play, and we're going to sing a song in a moment. Before we do, I believe there's at least two sorts of people here tonight, and maybe tonight you just need the Holy Spirit power to believe. And if that's you, I just want to pray for you. Just so I get a gauge of roughly how many people there are here who just need that power to believe. Can you just raise your hand while everyone's heads are bowed? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks. Father, you see the people here tonight who just need your Spirit to come and do that work of enabling belief. Lord, I pray, Lord, if any of those hands are of people who've never encountered you before, I pray that by your Spirit you would come and, Lord, convict them of their sin and, Lord, turn them to Jesus, their Savior. But, Lord, I know that many of those hands are of those who are believers. And I just pray that you would just come and bring fresh conviction in their hearts. Lord, that they would know that they know that Jesus reigns, that he's real, and that they can have complete confidence in him. Lord, thank you that your Holy Spirit is your Spirit. It's the Spirit of Jesus. Reveal yourself to these people, I pray. Maybe you're here tonight. The second group of people that the Lord just laid in my heart is those people who just need power to act. Maybe you're just tired. Maybe you're fearful. You just know you need to speak out to your friends at work or wherever it might be. You just, whatever it is, you need his power. If that's you, I just ask you to raise your hand, and I'm just going to pray for you. Thank you. Yeah. Father, you know there are many of us, many, many of us who need your power, your Holy Spirit to come and fill us and refresh us again. Lord, we think of Paul, who said that he struggled and labored with all his energies, with all Jesus' energies that worked so powerfully within him. Lord, forgive us for when we run ahead. Lord, where we don't stop to fill up, as it were, but we run ahead with our own strength. Lord, would you come now? Lord, would you fill us anew? Lord, where there's tiredness, Lord, would you just bring a wonderful refreshing? Lord, where there's fear to speak out in your name, Lord, would you bring boldness? Pray your own prayer to God.